right now, you know, we're in a housing crisis. We've got to adjust and, you know, meet our county where it is. And it is a lot of work. Just remembering that these are people. Will be difficult times that we'll work together with the church and with the operator on and make sure that we have a safe environment for all.
So I'm Chris.
I'm Jason.
And we are here with Justin Eby, who is the Executive Director of the Lancaster Housing and Redevelopment Authority. No, Lancaster County Housing and Redevelopment Authority. Did I get that right?
Yes, Lancaster County Housing and Redevelopment Authority.
Thank you for the yes on that.
Yeah.
So we brought you in because you are the overseer of the new low barrier emergency shelter that's coming in the basement. And if you're listening at home, you may hear construction noises from time to time coming through the floor because it's happening right underneath us.
I sure heard them. So
you did. Okay, yeah. Good. They add flavor. So Justin is kind of the overseer of this process. And I know I'm not going to do that justice in describing who you are. So let's start with, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to get involved in the housing efforts here in Lancaster?
Sure. So growing up, my grandfather was a longtime council member for the borough of Wormleysburg in just on the other side of Harrisburg.
Wormleysburg.
Okay. Yeah. Lemoyne, if you ever heard of Lemoyne.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a small borough right along the river. So growing up, again, grandfather being in, you know, kind of local government as a council member. My father, while growing up, was in planning and zoning for a local township in Cumberland County. And then my uncle was working for a developer of affordable housing, starting here in Lancaster County, Lancaster City.
So you've got a family heritage of public service, a community service.
Yeah, local government, community service, you know, affordable housing, kind of growing up. Still didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I thought I might want to be a firefighter or police officer. But went to college up in Williamsport, Lycoming College, majoring in political science. And my advisor at the time was, I believe he was council president of Williamsport City. And I ended up doing a year-long internship with the city of Williamsport in their community economic development department. And that kind of got me immersed in some of the work we do here in Lancaster County as a housing and redevelopment authority. So out of college, I found out there was an opportunity and applied as an admin assistant with the county housing redevelopment authorities. And here we are 15, 16 years later.
There's a real Williamsport connection there. I know Larry is also, he went to school or did something in, or from Williamsport. So
he did mention that. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe what's now called Penn College.
Yeah. I grew up there, so.
Okay.
I thought you looked familiar.
Yeah. Between certain years, maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't been back up there for a long time.
So can you unpack for us, help the listeners understand, what is the Lancaster County Housing and Redevelopment Authority? You'd mentioned before we started recording that folks may not have even really heard about it until COVID or maybe right after. Can you tell? What do you do?
Yeah, sure. So the County Housing Redevelopment Authorities, they're combined authorities. There's multiple authorities within our umbrella. So I'm the executive director of the Redevelopment Authority for Lancaster County, the county's Housing Authority, the county's Land Bank Authority, and then we also have a nonprofit, Lancaster Redevelopment Fund, Inc. So not all these agencies or pieces of the umbrella happen all at once. Originally, there was a whole county citywide housing authority that split in the 60s and 70s. And so today we have both a county and city housing authority. We have both a county and city redevelopment authority. We both have land bank authorities, but the way we operate and our kind of overall jurisdiction is a lot different. So we have a lot of tools in our toolbox as far as assisting municipalities with housing and redevelopment and blighted properties and helping individuals who are experiencing homelessness. When I first started with the combined authorities, we were really focused on working with municipalities on infrastructure and blighted properties, and our housing authority works with private landlords across the whole county by providing vouchers to whether they're homeless, if they're single individuals, families, disabled. We deal with a lot of different populations of our residents that need housing assistance through the voucher program. So,
Is your voucher program, I don't know, are people taking advantage of it? I know.
So, yeah, our housing, it's called the Housing Choice Voucher Program. This has been referred to as Section 8 for many, many decades. Mm-hmm. And it's really the most beneficial rental assistance program that there is as far as administering it and how it works and helps people remain in stable housing. We actually just reopened our waiting list 2 years ago after having it closed for over a decade. And so, that was a problem. We weren't getting new applicants in to be able to get this rental assistance. We just reopened 2 years ago. We had about 3,900 people apply. Wow. For the vouchers, but we did a lottery of 500. We have to maintain a workable waiting list for folks to get on to the voucher.
Is that only for people in the city specifically?
So our housing authority actually works exclusively outside the city. We work, our housing authority has vouchers through the 59 municipalities outside the city of Lancaster.
All right.
So I met you briefly, very briefly, when I was at Impact Missions. And I also met you briefly when you were visiting one of my clients for my other job that was building pre-modular homes. And you were on site just kind of walking through them and looking around and asking questions. And then I met you here when I was being brought on as pastor and the shelter was in the design, still in the design phase. So I say that to say you're very hands-on on some things, but what I'm hearing is you're also having to be big picture. You're overseeing almost like a corporation that has multiple divisions. You're overseeing a pretty good sized geography, but you're also hands-on on some of this stuff. How do you manage that?
Correct. Yeah, it's actually very difficult. I'm trying to get away from that as well.
Yeah.
We're trying to. Right now, we're in a housing crisis. We've got to adjust and meet our county where it is, and so we are working towards adding additional staff. A lot of that has to do with budgeting and other things.
Sure.
And so, that is a problem. We all of our employees are stretched. They're working really hard. We got to give them credit each day in, day out of how hard they're working, how many different different hats they're wearing, and working with so many different needs in the community, and so it is a lot of work. And sometimes try not to get in the weeds, and sometimes unfortunately I do get in the weeds. And
sure.
So it's just moving forward, trying to find the right balance between tackling these major issues and supporting our team and doing that.
And sometimes you answer an invitation to record a podcast. So knowing that your time is very limited.
Yes. I may have pushed it off a couple of weeks because we'll do our best. The other things going on, but
I am. On you to make sure I got you in here.
I do want to add, our umbrella organization has grown. In 2017, we added the Land Bank Authority, which started working with municipalities across the county on blighted properties. So adaptive reuse, taking properties that are so foregone, they need a lot of work, and we've been able to assist municipalities in that. And then in 2021, the discussion was of bringing the Homelessness Coalition to the Housing Redevelopment Authorities. And here we are now, 2024, mm-hmm. and we're two and a half years into building a great team at our organization to deal with the homeless issues, which keep growing by the day.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. can you share? And I know we're going to see if we can interview someone else with your organization to help maybe on this topic, but can you share some of what has changed in recent years regarding homelessness specifically? Like what have you noticed that's different in the last 2-3 years versus, you know, before then?
Sure. I'll give a general answer, but I know we have better experts on our team to answer that. But in general, I think there's just a lot of factors that have come into play. You know, rising costs for basic needs, rising costs for housing, for rent, for homeownership, for care, you know, going into a senior home or other issues. We've just seen a rising cost in everything associated with housing. Additionally, you know, when there's a major event like COVID and we flood the market with a ton of rental assistance, which drive the rents up, but then that rental assistance immediately goes away. There's a rise in evictions. I think the moratorium while at the time was helpful, it has definitely changed the landscape a little bit for us. You know, in general, there's just not enough housing supply or housing choice because not everyone can move into the same type of housing. Everyone can move into home ownership right away. There are other basic supports that need to happen. And what we're seeing is folks are staying in shelter much longer. They're not able to move out into housing. We don't have a great supply of permit supportive housing for some of these folks. So that's one of our initiatives to continue growing our permit supportive housing units throughout the county. So it's just a complex issue, but you meet or talk with any of these individuals who are experiencing homelessness and no one story is the same. And so I think just post COVID, we just have seen more attention to the issue. There's been so many different factors, both in the housing market, but also those who experience homelessness.
There's something that I was reading, I want to say a month ago, that kind of shocked me. And it was this research that had been done into housing stock and how that has changed over the years. And one of the premises of this research was arguing that we haven't been keeping up with population as a nation for more than 20 years in terms of building more housing. And then a lot of the housing that has been built has been, you know, more purpose driven for those who could afford, you know, a nicer house and not a medium or a low cost house. And so you mentioned supply and demand. It's almost like that's catching up with us now. So.
And, you know, about the availability of lower income housing, I just understand it's quite a struggle. And then
can you tell us a little bit about the federal funding?
Yeah, our organization administers a lot of federal funding on behalf of the County of Lancaster. We've had, obviously, I mentioned about the Housing Authority, that's you know, public housing funding that's coming through the federal government. We administer both affordable and community development entitlement grants on behalf of the county that comes through U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
You also get funding locally from, I don't know, local businesses, industries here? I mean,
So traditionally, our organization has really been a conduit of federal and state and local funding for specific needs based off plans that we have developed. And so we're actually, you know, venturing into kind of a new space where we are, you know, this is a community issue. So yeah. We are working with the community on raising funds to address these needs. We don't have an abundant supply of federal funds or state funds coming in at the current moment to support everything that we need to do to solve some of these housing issues and some of these homelessness issues. So this is, again, you know, utilizing our nonprofit, working collaboratively locally, making sure that we're not pulling at resources that other agencies are used to receiving mm-hmm. because they are part of the solution as yeah. well. And so, you know, we're strategically working through the process of bringing in funds for this project that we're here talking about, but also into the future as well. Businesses need to be at the table. Residents need to be at the table. Pretty much everyone. This is not going to be solved by one group or one agency.
Well, I know that's one of our hopes here, to at least get out to a few people that this is their community and they can do something. You know, there's some way to take part in it.
Yeah, I have been, the collaboration that's been involved on this project was surprising to me early on. Like when I started coming to meetings, it surprised me how many partners were involved and then how many other organizations knew about it and were supportive of it. And maybe I'm getting more cynical as I get older, but I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I think we do a great job in Lancaster County being collaborative and kind of working together to solve the issues. Our mm-hmm. continuum of care encompasses 50 to 70 organizations scattered throughout Lancaster County that may have a piece or two or three of the puzzle to work to address some of the housing and homeless issues. We have a good system of what we call hubs throughout the county, whether it be Elizabethtown or Quarryville or Denver Borough or here in the city. These hubs meet people where they are, and we help guide as an agency some of the best practices and make sure that the system as a whole is working well. For those who are reaching out for help.
How did this particular project get started, this shelter?
Yeah, so when the Homelessness Coalition came, basically the offices moved, what they called Office for the Coalition, moved from LGH Penn Medicine to the Housing Redevelopment Authorities. Obviously, there's a transition period. Administratively, you know, meeting with our providers, making sure that services continue. But one of the first things we identified was just obviously the rising housing issues. Mm-hmm. The fact that we didn't have a permanent low barrier shelter long term. And I think just also the changes in how sheltering within the city, the county, and the state with codes, construction issues, just having a safe place. We went around trying to identify over 18 months where an adequate place would be that we could have a larger shelter available. We don't want to keep building lots of shelters. We need to move kind of the whole continuum, make sure that we have housing to move folks out of shelter into. But our current need, we saw for 80 beds, and unfortunately, the existing, we thank Ebenezer for stepping up during COVID to provide a space, and for the food hub for providing the supports to run the space. But unfortunately, we're limited in how many people we can serve at that location, and we were really looking for a space in and around the city that we could serve a few more folks.
Yeah. Did Ebenezer have showers there?
No.
That's a big thing for helping people get further out or get through the shelter is being able to,
correct,
be clean.
Yeah. And, we're fortunate here to have enough space to provide both, adequate restrooms, showers, and have a flexible area where we could have 40 beds or give 20 beds or 80 beds. Right. We want to be mindful and try to keep folks really into more stable housing.
And this one, if I remember correctly, it can expand during emergencies, short-term emergencies, up to 120, 110?
Yeah, I believe we, we can safely have probably 100, 105 individuals here during a code blue, code right. red. But however, we have other initiatives going on, other partners in the community that are stepping up other locations that might be available for code red and code blue as well.
Yeah, good. So about the shelter in general, have you run into any misconceptions about it?
Yeah, so I think the shelter in general, definitely you know, a lot of people think Otterbein, United Methodist Church, mm-hmm, is right. the ones developing that are funding it completely. And so I know that's something that we're grateful for the location, but we also have to educate the community that, yeah. you know, there are other people at the table providing this project, yeah. That will be running it, including the YMCA. And so I think that's been an immediate misconception of directing the energy of education too. Who should these folks really be reaching out to learn more, and how they can, you know, help out with the situation.
And this is a good point to say clearly. So it's being built in the basement of Otterbein. Otterbein has given up the use of that space, but we are not running the shelter. Otterbein's not running the shelter. This is run by, operationally, the YMCA, as you mentioned, but LCHRA and the Redevelopment Fund, that's, they're funding it, they're spearheading it.
Correct.
Is that fair?
That is very fair.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And so while there needs to be a lot of collaboration between the church and our agency and the YMCA, you know, our nonprofit is running the capital campaign, mm-hmm. Which will be coming out soon. We've mm-hmm. developed the video to support that. We're developing other mechanisms to get the word out and how folks can support. This is a project that we did not start planning or funding right away. Mm-hmm. Our Prince Street hub that we're developing down on South Prince Street, south of Vine Street, that we have secured a lot of federal, state, and local funding for. However, this project, just a lot of factors happened. First, trying to find a secure space. We had a temporary space at Ebenezer. You know, it took some time to get where this space needed to go. We've 18 months looking at probably about 21, 22, 23 different sites. Even one we put in an offer to buy. Others that we looked at partnering with local businesses that they would help support and we would lease from. So at the end of the day, we circled back here as a large open space that we might be able to put all the programming in, and kind of landed here. So now the need is great. We don't want to go through a whole winter without having a space that's up to code. And so we started moving forward with this project without all the funds to do so. Borrowed money from a local bank to make sure that this gets moving forward. And so now we're looking to work with multiple partners here at the Capital Campaign to raise the funds for not only support all the construction that's going on right now that you may or may not hear, and as well as the operating.
Right. Mm-hmm. So folks I talk to sometimes ask how it's being funded. I'm glad you brought that up. And I think most of their heart for the question is more like, is this going to be a permanent thing? Is it going to be funded well and done well? It's not like, well, who's paying for that? It's more like, you know, is this going to be a real thing? So can you shed a little light? I know there's a capital campaign that's going to happen, but can you shed a little light on how that's going to work?
Yeah, sure. So of course that's the question all the time. How are you funding it? And it is a permanent location. You know, you have 10 to 15 years of investment to have a place that is safe for folks to stay overnight, to also have the ability to shower, and get connected. It'll be some case management to get connected out to, you know, the other local meals, mm-hmm. You know, Anchor Lancaster, the breakfast. Mm-hmm. At some point, connecting down to the Prince Street Hub for the day center. We have other partners that are looking to expand possibly, you know, their own sheltering or day centers. And so, you know, this project definitely is a long-term support to everything else that's going on. And you know, hopefully we get to a point in 5-10 years that we don't need to shelter as many people, and that you know, the operating costs are much lower. For now, we're just creating a capital campaign to make sure that we have the operating reserve so that the shelter does not shut down in year two.
Right.
That's the last thing we want to do is make a large investment and then not be able to continue operating it. And so we're being mindful of that. As you know, everything from construction to professional services to just general staffing costs a lot more than it did 2, 3, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to make sure that we have a safety net and that the community is supported long term by having a place for folks to go.
So this is going to be a community-wide capital campaign. Businesses can participate. Private donors can participate. Organizations can participate. Will that go to the construction? Will it go to the operations? Are you even going to separate that in this campaign, or is the campaign for the whole deal?
All above.
Got it. Okay.
Even if we need to provide, you know, if we need support in purchasing the linens or beds or...
It'll go through that.
It'll go through that.
Perfect. Okay. Yep. That makes it easy and clear. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yep. Good.
You know, I'm just thinking about, you know, Otterbein is kind of hosting this. I know the congregation, they've gained some sort of purpose out of knowing that they're involved with being part of this process. I'm curious, you know, for a small congregation, what's maybe something they could do that would be helpful to support it that's, you know, within their means, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I think definitely when we push out the capital campaign, just being aware of it, knowing it, and, mm-hmm. you know, everyone has their own network.
They do. Yeah.
Of individuals, of family, of friends that this may be, you know, dear to their heart. That's one means. Other mm-hmm. Patience, I think, mm-hmm. and educating yeah. themselves on, again, like we've talked many times, each individual has a different story, has a different means of what they need, what supports they need. And yeah, definitely, you know, also just remembering that these are people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there will be difficult times that we'll work together with the church and with the operator on and make sure that we have a safe environment for all.
So communications is key for this. It's a large community effort. Communications is key. Are there any efforts that the LCHRA or your partners are doing to get the information out there, address any concerns that might be here in this quadrant of the city? You know, we got neighbors right next to the church and such, or the broader community.
Yeah. So I know we're working with you and the church, and then with our local homeless advisory board, what's called HAB, as well as some other key stakeholders. We plan on doing a community event here at October 22nd, 6:30. To inform any of the residents or the congregation about what is homelessness, what is a low barrier shelter, what might you expect to happen here. Just really connect with the folks. Mm-hmm. I know
when you say here, that will be here at Otterbein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. I'll make sure I put that in.
We'll see.
Yeah. I think that'll be a helpful, if for nothing, no other reason than people in the area can come and ask questions, or at least hear their questions voiced by someone else. You know, that helps.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else that's going on?
I mean, you've
talked with the newspaper. We've talked with the newspaper. Mm-hmm. There have been articles written, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a project that's getting a lot of attention in the community. And so each and every time we try to make ourselves available to the media to make sure that the correct story is shared and that we're able to also, it's a means to get the information out
sure.
to the general public. And so there's been a lot of coverage and there will continue to be a lot of coverage. Not only this project, but in general, housing and homeless issues, not just here in the city, not just in our county. Mm-hmm. I do want to emphasize this is a countywide issue. While this project's happening in the city, our focus is elsewhere as well, say Columbia or Ephrata, or other areas that are also experiencing these same issues. And it's not only a county issue, it's a statewide issue. It's a national issue. And so, you know, just making sure that everyone knows what they don't know about housing insecurities and homelessness, because that is at the forefront now for everyone.
Right.
You don't come across someone that isn't having a difficult time with housing, whether it's someone that's within our agency that's trying to move on from renting to home ownership to, you know, someone you know that is struggling and is unsheltered at the moment.
Yeah. I just know I work with people who are, you know, in the situation, and I have lots of friends who have struggled there. So it is pretty widespread. I almost was there myself, so.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want to put emphasis that this project is not going to solve our issues here in the county. This is kind of that middle step. We have our street outreach, which is growing and connecting with folks. This is kind of your midterm solution. Our longer term solution is more housing. Mm-hmm. It's more appropriate housing choice, housing types, mixed use to mixed income, mixed generations. We just have to be very creative to solve this issue. This will help the community tremendously, but once this is developed, we're not losing our focus, and we're going to continue moving forward on, you know, the larger issue at hand.
So someday in the future, you might get an email from one of us asking you to speak more about that, on what affordable housing means and how we're dealing with that kind of longer term mm-hmm. view, or just housing in general.
Affordable housing many years ago was, you know, NIMBYism, not mm-hmm. in my backyard. Those folks are really lower income. All they, you know, mm-hmm. that's not true. Affordable housing is affordable housing. It's what's affordable to you and I. It's what's affordable to the person checking you out at mm-hmm. the grocery store. It's affordable to, you know, just pretty much everyone.
Amen. Yeah. Well, great. Well, thanks for coming to talk with us. Thanks for carving out some time. I imagine you're probably going to put your hard hat on, book it back downstairs to talk to somebody, I'm sure. But thanks again for coming. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We'll have to set up an office here, as I do everywhere
You might
else.
As well.
Yeah.
We got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great to talk to you, Justin.
Yeah, thank you.
Glad you tuned in today. We look forward to chatting again in the next episode of Hey Hey, Anybody Listening? Thank you.